Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will begin a new series of studies entitled Only the Bad Die Twice. We will start today in the book of Acts. So if you want to take a moment, get your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17. And as you're turning there, I'll remind you that you are watching Grace Alive, and Grace Alive is brought to you by Grace Alive Ministries. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire 4-week series of studies. We'd be glad to get those out to you also without any cost or obligation. Right now, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and in this passage, we read about the God of the Bible, the God that we serve. We read in chapter 17, verse 24, God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And this passage was the basis of a study that we did in the past here on Grace Alive entitled Life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. It's the basis of that study because it's in this passage in verse 25 that we find that the God of the Bible is a God that giveth to all life. And the bottom line is, as we study God's Word and as we learn the truth of His Word, that God desires to give life. He desires to give spiritual, eternal life to all who come to Him by faith. And so, in light of that, we're spending a month on each of those topics. Life, find it, get it, learn it, and live it. Last month, we dealt with the topic of finding life. Where can we find life? And we saw that life can be found in the pages of a book. Life can be found in the pages of God's Word. You need a book, a Bible that you can trust. And we saw the principles of inspiration, how God has inspired His Word and preserved His Word down through the ages so that we do today possess the infallible Word of God, and that that Word today exists for English-speaking people in the authorized King James Bible. Now this month, though, we want to take that next step. We understand where it is that we can find life. We can find life in the pages of a book. In fact, the very words of this book say the Word of God is quick. That quick is an old English word that means living. It's alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible also says, Jesus Christ, His earthly ministry, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's in the pages of this book that we find life. That's where we can find it. Now, today, we want to begin a series of studies on that second topic about life, that is, get life. Once we find life, and we know that life is in a book, and we can find life in the pages of this book, we need to now understand how the life that is in that book can become our possession. If the words that God speaks unto us are spirit and life, how can those words transform us and give us life? If the Word of God is quick and powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, how can that quickness, that life-giving ability of the Word be transferred to us? So this month we want to talk about that issue of getting the life that's in this book to be a part of us. And we're going to begin that series of studies today by answering the question, what is death? In other words, as we look at God's Word and we say it's a book that's alive, it's a book that can give life, and our God here in Acts chapter 17 is a God that giveth to all life and breath and all things. Why is it that we need life? What is death? And what is it that God's Word does that causes death to no longer be an issue? How is it that that Word can give us life? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And to begin this part of this series of studies on getting life, our key verse will be Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Romans 6:23, we read, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the problem that mankind has, the problem that you have and that I have, is that sin has brought us death. The fact that all men die is a demonstration that all men are sinners. And as we go through the study this month, we'll see how all men can become sinners and why all men are sinners. The gift of God is eternal life. Remember, God is a God that giveth to all life. He is a life-giving God. So although the wages of sin is death, and although death is what we have earned by our sin, we learn in this passage too that the gift of God is eternal life. Now, if our topic this month involves getting life, and involves how we can have eternal life, how we can receive that life that God has available to us, how the life that's in this book can become ours, then a question that we need to consider and that we need to answer is, what is death? And today we want to consider that and find an answer scripturally to what death is, because if we're going to say life comes from God's Word, then we need to understand what it is we're being saved from. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So what is that death? Well, many people might think that death is when something ceases to exist, or it ceases to function, or it no longer has any function at all, or it goes away. When a person dies, their spirit and their soul are gone. We don't see them. We don't see them anytime, but we don't see them animating that body of flesh anymore. But just what is it that death means? Well, we're going to just look at some verses, and from those verses, try to come up with a definition of what death is. Let's look first at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 59. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. And this passage in Luke 9 is going to help us to understand that death does not mean that something has ceased to exist or has ceased to function altogether. Luke chapter 9, and notice verse number 59 and 60. Read this. "He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Now, in the context here, Jesus Christ is saying to a man that's alive, let the dead bury their dead, but you come with me and preach the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, everybody that he's talking about, let the dead, some people that are physically alive, but let them bury that physically dead person, and you come and follow me. Now, from that verse, it's clear that death doesn't mean that something ceases to exist or that it's not functioning. Because Jesus Christ says, you let the dead bury their dead. You let those people that are spiritually dead, that have no interest in spiritual things, you let them worry about going and burying the dead. You come and follow me. So those people he refers to as being dead, they're spiritually dead, but they're still functioning. They're still physically alive, but spiritually they're dead. They exist, though, and they function and they do things. But yet Christ says that they're dead. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And in Ephesians 2, we will read about our dead condition that existed in man prior to salvation. If you're listening to my voice today and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, Ephesians chapter 2 is describing you. It's describing all men as they are dead in trespasses and sins. And Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The passage here talks about mankind in our natural existence, and he tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to, but while we were dead in trespasses and sins, we walked according to the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Conversation is our manner of life and our lifestyle and the things that we do. So in this passage, Paul is talking about someone being dead in trespasses and sins, yet they're very active. They walk according to the course of this world. They have their conversation in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children. They're doing things. They're fulfilling things. So death does not mean that there's no activity. Death, what is death? Well, it does not mean that there's no activity. And it does not mean that someone ceases to exist. Those things are not what the Bible talks about when it talks about death. It's not meaning that someone ceases to exist. It doesn't mean that there's no activity. These people here in Ephesians chapter 2, mankind that Paul's talking about, are spiritually dead, but their spirit is functioning. Their spirit is functioning. Notice in verse 2, you walked according to the course of this world. Your spirit is following a course. Your spirit is going in a certain direction. Your spirit is walking according to the course of this world. Verse 3, where he talks about fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, your spirit as a human being is focused in your mind. The mind, the intellect, is the seat of the spirit. And he says, you are walking, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You see, there is activity. Mankind exists. He has not ceased to exist. There is activity going on in that dead spirit. The problem, though, is that it's not activity that is the purpose for which the spirit was created. Let's turn back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Mankind was created to know God. In fact, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but of all of God's creations in the book of Genesis, of all the fish that he created and the fowl of the air and the beasts of the field, the only creature that God created on this earth that could know God was man. The only creature that he created that is a triune being that has a spirit is man. And in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That spirit of man that had been created to know God and to know only God and to have an intimate understanding of his creator, that spirit of man ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. Now, it did not cease to exist and it did not cease to function. It still exists. That spirit that Adam and Eve had that was in them that they were created, when they sinned, their spirit did not cease to exist. Their spirit did not cease to be active. It didn't cease to function, but it did cease to function for the purpose for which it was created. Their spirit was created to allow them to know God. And now, not only do they know God, but if you read Genesis chapter 3, what the serpent had said to Eve, verse 5, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, man's spirit was not created to know, to have a relationship with, and an intimate knowledge of evil. It was created to know God. But after man sinned, the eyes of them both were opened, and now they know evil. So that spirit that was created to know only God, that spirit was created to know and have an understanding of His righteousness, that spirit now becomes a spirit that not only knows God, not only knows good, but knows evil. That spirit becomes a spirit that is not just able to form a relationship with God, but now has forged a relationship and an intimate knowledge with the serpent, with that fallen angel, with Satan. So death in Scripture, what is death? It does not mean that there's no activity. It does not mean that something ceases to exist. But it does mean that that thing, that person, that entity, whatever you're talking about, has ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. For example, when your body of flesh dies, your body of flesh doesn't cease to exist. They take that body, they embalm it, they'll lay it there in the casket, they'll take it out, they'll put it in the ground, and that body will continue to exist, but that body ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created. Even after that body goes back to the dust from which it was taken. It's a long process till that body doesn't exist in the form that it was in, but still, that body's there to be resurrected someday. But it's not functioning for the purpose for which it was created. There's a good illustration of this. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. There's an illustration in Paul's epistles of this meaning of the word death. 1 Timothy chapter 5. That death can be that definition. It ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created. It doesn't have to do with no activity. It doesn't have to do with ceasing to exist. But it ceases to function for its intended purpose. Actually, we should say for its created purpose. God created everything with a purpose. And when something ceases to function for that created purpose, then we know that it's dead. Scripturally, that is dead. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 5, 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Paul's talking here about a believer. In fact, he's talking about someone here not that's just physically alive, but someone that's spiritually alive. This woman in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he's dealing with different people in the local assembly. In verse 1, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Verse 5, the elder women as mothers. Verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. So he's talking about different kinds of people in the assembly and how those different kinds of people in the assembly are to be dealt with and how the assembly is to view them. And in verse 5, he's talking about the widows in the assembly. And he says, that here's what a widow should do. She should continue in supplication and prayers night and day. Verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. She's dead while she lives. Now, this woman in question here, this widow, number one, she's obviously still physically alive. Number two, she's a part of the local assembly. She's spiritually alive. She has life in Christ. Yet Paul says she's dead while she liveth. So how can she be dead while she liveth? She's alive physically. She's alive spiritually. Yet she's dead. Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. And when we see the purpose for which God saved us, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now the question is, why did God say, what are we created to do? We are new creatures in Christ. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember what death is? When something or someone ceases to function for its created purpose. Why are we created in Christ? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, the purpose for our creation in Christ Jesus, the purpose for our new life, the purpose for our salvation, the reason why God saves us by grace through faith is that we might walk in good works. Now, this widow in 1 Timothy chapter 5, she is living in pleasure. She that liveth in pleasure is dead, that is, the pleasures of the flesh, is dead while she liveth. Why? Because she was created in Christ Jesus to serve. She was created in Christ Jesus to walk in good works. She was created in Christ Jesus to live the life of Christ, not to live in the pleasures of the flesh. So she, being alive, yet is dead. She is dead while she's still alive because she's not functioning for the purpose for which she was created, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Romans chapter 6 now. Let's go back to that original passage. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let's think about that with our understanding of what death is. The wages of sin is death. Mankind, let's get one passage very quickly as we come to a close here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That passage gives us the threefold makeup of man, the triune makeup of man, spirit, soul, and body. And when Paul says in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, it means that every part of man has ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. God created our spirit to know Him. We've already seen now that our spirit knows evil also. God created our soul to be in fellowship with Him, in communion with your soul is that part of you that expresses your will and your emotions. It's the seat of your will and your emotions. We were created to be friends of God, to have a relationship with Him, to have a love relationship with Him. Adam and Eve went and hid themselves in the Garden of Eden from the presence of the Lord. That relationship was broken. Finally, our bodies were created to be the dwelling place of our soul and spirit on planet Earth for eternity. God never intended that our bodies would die. And yet now we know that from the moment a child is born, it begins the process of death. And eventually it goes back to the dust from which it was taken. Each part of the creation, each part of man, the wages of sin is death. And that verse, the wages of sin is death, carries with it a tremendous weight because it means it goes beyond just physical death. It goes beyond just the fact that one day all of us will die. It goes to the fact that mankind is completely and totally and absolutely stained by sin. We're going to talk more next week about how sin has stained all three parts of mankind, our spirit and our soul and our body. But understand today that when we say that God is a God that gives life, that the God that we serve is a God that giveth to all life, we need life. If you're listening to my voice today and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you need life. You need spiritual life. You need life in your soul that will enable it to have communion and fellowship with God again. You need life so that your body of flesh, a resurrected body, will live on for all eternity. You need life. Sin has totally taken away all life. Not just the physical life, not just what we can see, but our life of our spirit and the life of our soul. And the God of Scripture is the God that can give life back to your dead soul, to your dead spirit, to your dead body, to your dying body. Only the God of the Bible can do that. And getting life involves by faith trusting what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, and He will give you the gift of eternal life. We'll talk more about that truth as we go on through this series of studies. Right now, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.